Over the last few weeks, we have been taking a few moments to hear from people within the congregation about building a home where all belong. I'm very grateful for Paul Breckus to being with us today. Also, thank you for dressing up. Paul Breckus is one of those people lots of people know of, but not enough people know about. In fact, I knew of Paul when I was first brought in. They're like, this is the church where you're going to serve. You're going to meet some people. They're going to decide if you're a good fit. There was a table full of people, and they were like, what do you know about our church in our neighborhood? And I was like, well, I'm down here a lot because I go to Little Man Ice Cream. This was before Sweet Cow existed. I mean, like, just so you know. And I was like, well, I'm down here at Little Man. I love the neighborhood. I was down there the other day. A guy rode by in a Pethy farthing. And I was like, what a great neighborhood. And the whole room started laughing. And then they all turned. And Paul was like, oh, yeah, that's me. And the bike's downstairs. Like, I knew Paul before I even knew I was going to ever be serving here. So many of us appreciate the way you bring joy into the world by being yourself. We also appreciate being able to hear, so thank you for taking care of the soundboard on such a regular basis. But I wanted to just get a chance to ask you a few questions like we have about building a home where all belong and what that means to you. So why don't you tell us a little bit?
Okay, well, to start with, I've always been kind of a misfit, kind of the odd one out.
Oh, my mom uses the word unique.
Yes, okay. Anyway, in my teen years, that's when I started, that's when through small house groups and the like, I started to explore Christianity. And that's where I made a decision that I was going to go to Oral Roberts University. And when I got there, I found that there was a lot of exclusion involved there, that, you know, there were certain people who were in and certain people who were out, and I always felt that God's love was for everybody. And so I would jokingly say, the love of God brought me to the Christian way, and Oral Roberts pushed me away. So after several years and the like, back in about 2003, my friend Lowell, who I went to ORU with, got in contact with Carlton Pearson, who was, you know, kind of a bishop or whatever in the community down there in Tulsa of ORU and the like, and how he was talking about the gospel of inclusion, that if Christ died for our sins, he died for everybody, that everybody is loved by God, everybody is included. And we jump forward to about 2004 in September. They had the Highlands Home Tour, and it was centered. It started here at this particular church. And Barbara and I, on bicycles, of course, toured the different houses and the like, and, of course, this church. And we decided, let's give this one a try. At that time, Pastor Betty was leading the church, and in the very first sermon, there were undertones and hints of this inclusive, everybody is included theme. And by the second sermon that we came to, it was clear, very clear, and we talked with Pastor Betty and eventually joined into Highlands. And
That's now more than a decade that you've been a part of the congregation here.
Yeah.
How has this place, this home where all belong, cared for you in the midst of that time?
Well, I kind of say in life and in death. Mm-hmm. Back in 2012, I had an appendicitis that went wrong, and I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And Pastor Betty visited me. And then in 2012, my friend Lowell that I mentioned earlier passed away from a massive stroke, and the people of Highlands, Pastor Betty and Carrie and others were right there with me. And in 2013, the sound man, Dean Benjamin, shortly after his retirement, passed away. And that's when Rev Brad asked me to serve and work the soundboard. And that is kind of like in the part of what we do, and even more as, you know, who we are. But anyway, in addition to all that, I have a friend who's been fighting addiction for quite a while, and one of our parishioners here also has a relative that has also been fighting addiction. And the two of us would check in with each other and see how each other are doing. So it's more than just the staff of the ministry staff, yeah. but also my friends here in my church family. And then there's support from Rev Brad, and as he'll probably mention, we take a bike ride every few weeks and with a brown bag lunch, and we discuss everything from, you know, our families to outreach and what the church can be doing.
One of the things we talk about a lot is process theology. This is something that Paul was introduced to by Pastor Betty, who is not only just deeply shaped and formed herself by process theology, but she is one of those very gifted preachers who can actually help people understand and connect this theological worldview. And that's something that, that you and I always chat about a little bit, because mm-hmm. this church has shaped how you see God and how you see the world.
Well, the thing that really shows through in the process theology is that God works through us, that God is not, you know, in the miracle worker stage of, you know, thunder and all this other stuff. It's that, you know, it's God is with us. God is working through us. And the only hands that God really has are ours.
And thinking about those hands, then, when we ask that question of why do you want to extend a home where all belong? Why are your hands a part of that?
Well, it's God's will. God wants us to let everybody know that they're part of God, they're part of, you know, God's vision, they're part of God's love. And, you know, we do that here, like, for example, through Family Promise, mm-hmm. where the kids just collected. We have our PB&J ministry, and I would jokingly say that, you know, they'll know we are Christians by our lunch. And I was quite pleased that that was one of our hymns. And
I think you're just quite pleased that they all laughed at that one.
Yes. Bad jokes, what can I say? And, of course, the green team, that we're here to make sure we preserve, you know, that we preserve our planet and our earth and, you know, give us all a home where all belong.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, not only for all you do each and every week, the ways you participate in the life of our congregation, but for you're not a I want to be in front of people kind of person. No. You prefer to be in the back taking care of folks, and I appreciate your willingness to be with us and share some of your story. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm grateful to a host of different folks who over the last couple weeks and next week, Bill and Nancy Williams will be sharing with us. Folks who are sharing stories of life so that you get to hear voices other than my own remind you of why this place matters. And I hope that you have your own stories. That's part of this conversation, is inviting you to think about what your story is, of how this place has cared for you, what building a home where all belong means to you. These things matter because it's a part of our relationship together. And relationships are essential because they're missing from a lot of places in our world. I mean, when you think about it, our world is filled with transactions, right? A transaction, an exchange in which we give something, we get something, and then we move on. We exchange greetings without much depth these days, right? Oh, hi, how are you? Oh, you too, okay. Didn't even hear the answer. Transaction done, move on. Well, we turn on the TV and we get news from people who agree with us so we can feel better about ourselves. And then we can turn it off. Transaction done. We can move on. Or we make a purchase by tapping or swiping. We pay our cable bill with a single click. Or we say, Alexa, order more toilet paper. Right? We have these methods that are so quick and suddenly transaction done. Move on. But ours is not a transactional God. I mean, there was a time that God was seen that way, right? There was a time at which people thought, oh, we go to the altar, we drop our offering, and we back away slowly, praying for blessings. Transaction done, move on. But even then, that's not what God was going for. Even then, God was longing for humanity to see it differently. No, I've already blessed you, and that's why you give this as an opportunity of thanks. It's not so that you'll get something. It's to honor our relationship. What you place on the altar is to help you recognize the value of what you've already been given. But people were missing it. Since that wasn't working, God had to do something a little more drastic. So God showed up, like as a person, to be in relationship, offering healing and teaching, living an example of love that not even death could overcome. And yet somehow, People turned the ultimate example of love and relationship that God showed in Jesus. Somehow people turned that into a transaction. The number of places in this world where all you have to do is just say you accept Jesus, pray a certain prayer, and then you get eternal reward. Transaction done. We can move on. Oh, ours is not a transactional God. Jesus is not a salvation transaction. Christianity is not a show up and get what you need and then leave religion. When it comes to God's work in our lives, we are never done. It can't be transactional because we are ever in process. Now, yes, we do leave a building, we leave small group gatherings, we do move on about our day from this place, but when we move on, it's not to leave something behind us we think is finished. It's to move forward into the work that is to come. Our scripture in Ephesians, our building a home where all belong verse, says it this way. God is building a home. God's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what God is building. God used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation, and now God is using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. It's taking shape day after day. Day after day. A home where all belong is never done. It's not something we leave behind when we move on. Because a home where all belong is not transactional. It is a process of relationship. This is one of the things that struck me as Paul and I were preparing for our little interview today. We did a little pre-interview and some conversation. And it struck me, maybe you heard it a little bit in his answer today, but I asked him, how has this place been caring for you? And he responded by telling me all the things he does to help out here. I was like, no, that's the ways you care for us. How have we cared for you? And he again shared ways that he's caring for other people here. And it was just that beautiful example that part of the way we are cared for is by being given a chance to care for others. Because the meaning of a home where all belong is about relationship. This is a place where we grow in relationship with a loving God. This is a place where we grow in relationship with one another and all people. This is a place where we grow in relationship with ourselves, coming to know who we are and what we have to offer the world. And relationships like that don't have a finish line. It can't be transactional because relationships like that never conclude. Relationships like that are happening in perpetuity. This home where all belong is being built and taking shape day after day after day. Now, in our fast-paced, immediate gratification world, this is not always understood or appreciated. What do you mean it's not done? Well, we will never be done here. What God is doing in this place through you, what God is doing in this place in you and with you, it will never be done. That's why we continue to seek out God's vision for what takes shape next. We've been listening for this vision, and that's why we're seeking to deepen our knowledge of the people who call this place home so we can better care for your needs and help you share your gifts. That's why we're also seeking to provide more opportunities to learn about God, opportunities to reclaim our scriptures through study, to see how traditions as God's people have a lot to show us about where we've been and where we can go next. It's why we're working to connect you through conversation and groups that will give you a sense of belonging, offering you more opportunities to be in the presence of people who know your name and care about what's happening in your life. It's why we're seeking to bring in people who will share stories that can offer new perspectives and insights, stirring interest and passion for life through others' experiences. These are some of our visions we have laid out as places we see God saying, I want you to build next. And we add these new visions to our enduring commitment to care for children in our community and feed and house those in need, to seek and speak out for justice and to boldly proclaim God's love for all people. As God does all of this and more through this congregation, as it takes shape day after day, we need your help. When we put all of these new visions of ministry into a spreadsheet with our current ministries and what it'll take to support all of them, it's very clear that we need to grow in our giving to grow in our ministries. I mean, we don't begin ministries without a plan to fund them. Here at Highlands, we do not spend what we do not have. So we are asking you to let us know what your giving is intended to be in the coming year. If you've never done this before, if this whole pledge card thing is a new thing to you, please know we're simply asking for your intention. It's not a contract. It's not something anyone else knows besides you and God and me. I take care of this paperwork so that it remains confidential. But it allows us to be responsible in the ministries that we're building. To fund the day-to-day ministry of 2019, these visions of all that can be, we need to receive $35,000 in new or increased pledges. Last year, our pledges totaled $186,000 from 77 households. So to get to $221,000 is a big step. But I believe it's possible. Because we're not going to ask you for a transaction. That's not what we're asking. Your giving in this place is about relationship. It's always in process. And when done prayerfully, your giving is not transactional. It is transformational. If we will all prayerfully consider what a home where all belong means to us, if we will prayerfully consider how it's cared for us and those we love, if we will think about why we want others to experience what God is doing here, if we will prayerfully consider our answers, our own stories of God's work in our lives through this place, what God seeks to do through us will take shape here. I mean, our work in this neighborhood will not be done tomorrow. Our example in this world will not be completed next week. In fact, this church's role in your life will not be finished after Christmas. All that God is doing in this place, all that God is doing through us in this neighborhood and world, and all that God is doing through you is taking shape day after day after day. And what God is doing in us, as it is brought forth, it actually brings forth the very thing that it's worthy of, your best. Amen.